Conference is now being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time.
So this is Dan McKee, and today's call will start when Mark Haywood gets on the line. I don't know if he's there yet, but he'll let me know. And then, of course, we have the DLT with Matt and DBR with Julietta. And then we have an interesting panel today as we're starting to talk about reopening strategies. The governor started outlining that yesterday and phase one, phase two, phase three. So I thought it was appropriate to bring some businesses on the line today to talk about how what their perspective is on a safe opening in their respective businesses. So I'll start the call again, as I always have. You know, our safety, the health is the number one issue for us. Without that, we're not going to reopen the economy. So we need to make sure we're paying attention and listening to Dr. Scott in the health department and everybody that's associated with the emergency management and the National Guard and the governor and the governor's office on these issues. Very important that we continue to make that the top priority. But we know that the business issues, the economy issues, have been and continue to be a priority for all of us to be watching. I would just start off a little bit by saying that in order for the economy to open up, and we're going to talk about that today, we got to make sure that we're paying attention to areas that different communities that may be showing a high infection rates. And we got to solve that problem. And we've been doing translation out of our office with Rosa in our office for the last since the press conferences started to make sure we're communicating with the Hispanic community that has been that has been noticed that they have a very high infection rate, and we need to find out why and solve that problem. One of the issues is just to make sure that we're communicating, and the governor's office has indicated that they're going to, you know, be really starting to work harder in that area and do better in that area. So all those things intertwine for us, and that's what I want to, you know, make sure that people understand is that until we get the infection rate under control and the ability to test, the ability to track, and everything else that is documented, it's going to be difficult for us to open the economy up. So we're all attached to one another. My health affects yours, your health affects mine, and we need to really pay close attention to that. But we'll talk more about that as the call goes on, and during the week we're going to be talking more and more about including small businesses in the discussion about how to safely reopen, as we did with the garden shops. And I'm getting indication from the farmers who own garden shops that they have started to operate, still under some restrictive conditions. But they are operating in a way that's better for them than it was before, and that's our goal, is to kind of improve everybody's business situation so that their economy and the people that work with them are taken care of. So with that being said, I don't know, is Mark on the call yet? Mark Haywood? Not yet. So is... So we'll go to Assistant Director Mark Weldon. Is Mark on the call from DLT?
Governor. Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me, Governor?
Yes, I can.
Okay, just quickly today, I'm sure everybody's getting bored with my routine by now. 193,000 unemployment claims have been filed. That's an incredible amount, as we've talked about. It's been a significant challenge for us, but we're tackling it through three things, and that those things are technology, process changes, and human resources. And we're working together with our labor unions, with some retirees that we brought back, and with a contractor that we've engaged the services of to be able to get these claims moving and out the door as quickly as possible while being mindful of the impact that they have on the business community. I've already talked to you about the process that we've built to make sure that we can get people back to work, especially if their employers have gotten the PPP loans and need to get people returned to payroll. We can work with them to do that. We can do so in a timely and meaningful way. And I've suggested before that everyone send the information to me at matthew.weldon@dlt.ri.gov. For the time being, I think that's fine to continue doing that, and I'll forward it to the appropriate place. And at the next call, I'll probably announce another email, and actually I can probably distribute some information that we can push out through your office. The only other thing I want to touch on today really deals with an issue that we've all heard about on the news in the last day or so, and you'll hear more later today, and that is the case of fraudulent claims being filed. These are cases where someone's identity has likely been compromised in the past, and that information has been procured by someone else who has then used a computer software program to submit claims throughout the entire country. And in some places, those are going through. It's not unique here in Rhode Island, but we are seeing a number of them. You know, with 193,000 claims, obviously we're going to see some. The number is a little bit higher than we would want it to be. So we're taking steps here to address that. One way is last week, at the end of the week, we put a stop on any claims that had payment sources that were not traditional banks or payment card that's issued by the department. While some people may get caught up in that, and we're going to have to go in and help those individuals, most of those cases are fraud cases, and so we're going to be able to stop money from going out the door. The issue of identity theft we're dealing with by working with the state police. It's a team of state troopers that are involved with us, working with the Attorney General's office and DLT investigators and legal team. To look at these matters, to reach out and talk to everybody who has received something in the mail or an email saying that they filed a claim when in fact they haven't. We take the issue very seriously. You'll see Director Jensen on several news stations today talking about what we're doing, and I'll be happy to update on Friday. Anybody who feels as though a claim was filed for an employee who shouldn't have filed a claim because it was an identity theft case or for themselves can email dlt.investigations@dlt.ri.gov, and we'll engage with them from there. And I'll just hold the line now for questions, Governor.
Yeah, Matt, thank you so much for sharing that, because we are getting calls, as you're getting far more calls than we are, but we're noticing that, and we just want to, we don't want people who are not entitled to the money or fraudulently trying to get money they're not entitled to. I think we all can agree that we want to put a stop to that, and I appreciate the fact that you and your department, DLT, is really responding well, and I know they're responding to the individuals that are maybe caught up in this in a way that they had nothing to do with, but they're caught up in it, right?
Oh, absolutely. The biggest thing is just staying in touch, and we're going to do everything we can to do that. And the last piece is I'm responding to emails I'm getting about other issues. People on the calls are emailing me. Please know that I am going to respond to you. I promise. It's a little bit like Lucy in the Chocolate Factory right now in my office, so I'm doing everything I can to keep up. But it may take a day or two, so my apologies on the front end.
Yeah, Mark. We did get a nice text this morning from somebody that's been on these calls and appreciated the fact that you had gave that contact information, and that person has been helped. So we know you're getting to it, and I know that the people on this call really appreciate it, as do people in the state. It's quite a task you got with 190,000 plus applications at this point in time for the benefits. And this information center that we're trying to do is to provide really good information to people. If you contact us at 222-2371, you'll get an answer from us, and we'll try to do the same thing that Matt just said. It will steer it in the right direction. And some of that, Matt, is getting steered towards you, so we appreciate it very much.
Absolutely.
And of course, yes, and any questions that you might have even on this call that we may get to or may not get to, but we will follow up. You can go to ltgob20@gmail.com. I'll go back, and just in case Mark Hayward's on the line, I'm not sure that Mark, he might have got called off, a lot of stuff happening. But if Mark's there, please let us know. And if he's not, then we'll continue going down the agenda so we stay on schedule with everybody. Is the deputy director from DBR on, Juliette?
I'm here, Governor. How are you today?
We're doing very good today, and I know you've got a lot going on with the strategies that were announced yesterday on reopening strategies. So I don't know if you want to just share a couple of those things, or you're just here to answer questions, or whatever you want to share, and we appreciate the fact that you continue with us.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me on again, and I won't bore you with cloth face coverings. I know I've done that for a couple of times now. But just know that our inspectors, DBR inspectors, have been out and about on the streets. We've gone to over 400 businesses, both large and small, and we have seen an extremely high level of compliance. We do, of course, have our hotline open. That's 889-5550, and I repeat that, 889-5550. For any kind of questions you have or any kind of non-compliance that you see when it comes to overcrowding in stores or people not wearing cloth face coverings, we're happy to give that store a call. We're happy to go out and make sure that they're complying. So please don't hesitate to use that line. Following up on what you were saying before, and I think is what the most exciting part of what we're doing these days, you know, we've partnered very nicely with Commerce and DOH and DLT and just a bunch of different agencies to try to figure out how best in a measured and safe way to open up this economy. As you've all seen, there are phases, phase one, two, and three. Everyone is kind of, you know, there's a lead that is the expert on each industry, whether it be the restaurant industry or the entertainment industry or construction or manufacturing. And everyone's working very hard to try to come up with the best guidelines and requirements to keep things safe and healthy and allow businesses to reopen. What's important, I think, to share is that you can go to the website. I know that the governor said on the news, but write it down if you will. It's www.reopeningri.com. And as of right now, you can leave your feedback. So if you have, you know, if you are a hairdresser and you've got great ideas on how you think that you could safely open up your business, Commerce would love to receive those ideas and then kind of disseminate to groups that are in charge of doing that. We are trying to get absolutely as much feedback as we can from the professionals because we're you know, you know better than we do what you're able to do and what you're not able to do. And you are equally concerned with your own health and safety as you are with your customers' health and safety, so we take everyone's suggestions into consideration. Again, that's reopeningri.com, and if you have any kind of non-compliance complaints on face cloth coverings or overcrowding in stores, just call us at 889-5550, and you won't actually get a person to speak to. You will leave a voicemail that is transcribed then into an email, and we get back to it in less than 24 hours. So don't be discouraged that someone's not picking up.
Julia,
Governor,
thank you.
That's pretty much all I have to say, but I'm more than happy to speak to all the questions.
Yes, but I ask if people can leave the messages in Spanish as well?
Yes, of course. You can leave them in Spanish. We have someone who's interpreting, and again, we'll get back to you in less than 24 hours.
Thank you.
That's Rosa in our office. We're going to hear from Rosa a little later in the call. But the thanks, Rosa. And our chief of staff has been, Tony Silver, has, you know, asked me again to give the email address for any questions that you may ask. And it's ltgov20@gmail.com. And we've been sharing our personal cell phone numbers as well because we are working from a distance. We are covering all our calls, but and Tony Silver's number is 578-4220, and I'll give my number shortly. But, yeah, Tony Silver's our chief of staff, 578-4220. And just as Julietta is doing, working overtime in a lot of ways, we are as well, and it takes a real team effort to do that, Julia. So thank you so much for your comments. And then, setting up the ability for small businesses to provide their stories in terms of what they think could happen in their businesses in terms of making sure we have a safe reentry. I think that's really, really important. That's part of what our agenda is today with a handful of businesses that we're going to open that conversation up on this call publicly, and hopefully we'll bring that call to the attention of everybody out there so that more and more people can participate in that.
That's what we want.
I don't believe Mark is. Yeah, thanks, Julia. Thank you so much. I don't believe that Mark of the SBA is on, but if he does come on, we'll get to him. If not, we'll have him on Friday's call. A lot is happening in the SBA right now, as you can imagine, with the reopening of the, you know, the funding on the PPP loans, and we're looking for an update on that. And we know that those dollars are going to get exhausted. Mark indicated that last week's call. And that's why it opens up the discussion that I've been talking about for a while is what's the state's plan to kind of fill the gaps that are going to be there with small businesses in particular that are not going to get the benefit of the SBA programs. We're going to continue to talk about that and ways that we can figure out a way to a sustainable strategy. We're talking around the country right now. We had a conversation yesterday with a national publication that is outlining what all states are doing right now and trying to come up with some ideas that can be productive, sustainable strategies in either loan or grant strategies in combination, working with our bank institutions along with the state and the General Assembly and the Governor's Office. So we're in the middle of those discussions as well, and what more information will come out on that. What I wanted to go now is to our crew that's working on the Gift It Forward program with Justin, Laurie, and Chris. I don't know, Justin, are you on?
I'm here.
Yeah, so, and Laurie, are you on as well?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I don't know if Chris made it. Is Chris there by any chance? No, but we'll go with the two of you, and then we'll catch up with Chris. But yeah, just give us an overview again on, because especially with, you know, that we're getting word, and I know one of our...
This is Chris. I am here.
Chris, thank you very much, Chris. So we know that the work that you're doing on the Gift It Forward program is really having an impact. We wanted to be more impactful as well, getting money into the hands of our small businesses right now, especially those who are not qualifying for the SBA loans or some of the other grant programs or loan programs. This could be some of their only sources of revenue. And the data that I'm reading is that small businesses on average might have about 27 days of savings that they can use to keep their business afloat. And we're well past that 27 days. So the work that you're doing is very important. So Justin and Laurie and Chris, the mic's yours here for a couple minutes. Just give us an update and let us know that things are alive and well on the effort on the Gift It Forward program.
Sure, absolutely. So on the Gift It Forward website itself, it's slowly evolving more and more every day into, as we keep referring it to, as the Small Business Hub for Rhode Island. So right now, there are 1,025 businesses registered on the site to be part of the program itself. We've had 5,350 clicks to the gift card link, meaning, 5,350 people actually clicked on that link to purchase a gift card. We've had over 107,000 views to the website, which is amazing. I think it's far succeeded anything we've all thought. As we mentioned on the last call, we're continually, as a group of three of us, putting a plan on how this site will become that hub to help your business open, stay open, and be a resource and advocate for you. As of this morning, we put, how to safely reopen your small business tab on there. It does have a link that goes directly to the reopening RI currently. There is the governor's little phase three splash on there now. And I'm hoping by the end of the day, we'll have some resources on there to you'll be able to go in and just print some PDF documents. Maybe you just need some signs for the front windows and, how to safely social distance and some different articles and, resources that we've been privy to being on, some different calls here and there to really help you guys.
Lisa?
Yeah. Lori?
And then we're going to Chris. Yes.
Okay, cool. So my name is Lori Gittari. I'm co-owner of
Visual Thrive. Oh, sorry, Lori.
Yeah, that's all right. So I think like the government entities that are partnering, it's kind of cool to have this small business collaborative to serve small businesses in Rhode Island. And we created the website rithrives.com, and we initially created it for our clients that wanted to deliver or have curbside pickup, and then we decided that probably most small businesses needed this, so it's grown, and if you want to list your business there, it's rithrives.com. It's for businesses that are delivering, doing takeout, curbside pickup, have e-commerce online ordering or have professional services or online classes being offered. And we just, we're going to update this probably today because we got some small Rhode Island manufacturers that have product to sell, and we're going to create a new segment called Manufactured and Made in Rhode Island as well. So eventually we'll have Rhode Island businesses supporting Rhode Island businesses. There's also a link directly to the Gift It Forward website, so you can purchase gift cards if that's what you want to do, or get the small business resources from there. So as the co-owner of Visual Thrive is social media and marketing agency, we've kind of created this sub-site to really allow the small businesses to search by neighborhood or category to find what's near you that you can get and receive safely. So from the business side, it puts your business there with an online presence, and from the customer side, it allows you to search and choose what you're looking for and hopefully support Rhode Island small business. So thank you for the time, and I love working with this group, so it's really been fun.
Well, Lori, thank you very much, and I know that you guys are doing more than your share, but this is so important, especially when we get into the next segment. I'm going to go to Chris first, but when we get into the next segment, of businesses that continually, I try to, you know, get a variety of different businesses on these calls so that they bring in up points that are important to their business, which is reflective of all the small businesses in the state of Rhode Island in one way or another. So thank you for the work. And the more business that we can drive on the short term to these small businesses, better chance that we have that, the businesses that were in business before this health crisis started, you will be in business after this healthcare crisis is over, and that's our whole objective. Chris, please weigh in for a couple seconds, and appreciate your help as always.
Am I the Chris that you're looking for from the radio station?
No.
Oh, you're looking for another Chris. I apologize.
So we'll worry about you later, but you did get some money.
That's fine.
Chris?
Yes, I wanted to say I did get the grant. That's positive news, and I did apply for the PPP, waiting for that, but the grant did come in, which I sincerely appreciate.
There you go. All right, okay. Then we're going to shift, but I appreciate you sharing that information, Chris.
Here's the other Chris.
Oh, the other Chris is there. Good. Go ahead, Chris.
Thanks, Governor. So this is Chris Parisi from Trailblaze Marketing, working with Justin and Laurie and Lieutenant Governor's office on the rismallbusiness.org site. Echoing everything that Justin and Laurie just said, we're really revamping the website to the next phase where we can continue to help small business owners throughout this health and economic crisis. So not only are we going to be continuing to provide resources, as Justin just mentioned, such as reopening RI, and we're also looking to find ways to help connect consumers with local businesses. So that shop local section on the website, looking for ideas, but, currently, just like Lori mentioned with the RI Thrives, finding businesses that are open in your area is a great start. So making sure that you submit your business so that when we drive traffic to this rismallbusiness.org site, the consumers go there and there's a big button that says, shop local in the future. And we want to make sure that all these local small businesses are there so that the consumers can do their best to shop local, and as well as businesses to purchase from other businesses in our local RI community. Also a side note is that if you do not have an ability to sell gift cards online, such for the Gift It Forward program, you can go to trailblazepvd.com, and there will be a button there to click about selling gift cards online, and then you can fill out the form, and we'll take you through the process so you can start selling gift cards online. Again, that's trailblazepvd.com for the ability to sell gift cards online on the Gift It Forward program.
Thanks, thanks, Chris. And again, thank you for all your work. We're trying to find creative ways to drive, income and revenue into our small businesses during a time when they're shut down. I participated in a concert in place of the Spring Fest down in Wesley that the Musquamicut Business Association puts on with Caswell Cook and their group, Charles there from the Windjammer and on the beach, and they raised some doubts through the chamber, the Ocean State Community Chamber down there. Right now we are planning with the crew here, the trio that we got going on with this Gift It Forward, the RI smallbusiness.org. We're organizing another event for the brewers in the state to substitute for a Newport concert that they had, which will be in June, that we'll continue to be talking about. I bring up those issues because there's people on the call now and that'll be listening to the recording on this call, and then some of the follow-up that'll happen on some of the local radio shows. Just to let you know that if you've got an idea that can help any particular group, even if it's a group that you're involved in, right, we want to hear about it, because the more that we can do to stimulate an economy under the current circumstances, the stronger that will be in the more ability, like I said, to make sure that our small businesses survive this health crisis. So thanks to the three of you. Justin, why don't you just share?
Hey, as Governor?
Yes.
That's Mark Haywood. I'm here. I'm a little bit late, but I'm here. And
no,
I have no
ideas. You're never late, Mark. We appreciate you being here. We'd love to have your comments right now, maybe whatever updates you can share. I know there's a lot going on, and we appreciate your championing the cause for our small businesses, in particular here in Rhode Island. Mark, thank you.
Clearly the local lenders are pushing through PPP loans. last time I went in to look, there was about 1,400 in the system from Rhode Island. It's a little slower. And I know that some of the lenders have had some challenges, and we're trying to help them work through those challenges, in some instances loan by loan. And it's taking a little bit of time, but hopefully we'll be able to. I know the queues are long, and I know the people's patience are running thin. Lord only do I know that. I've heard from a lot of them. Both lenders and small business people, but just hang in there, and this too shall pass.
Yeah, Mark, and I think that we're getting accustomed to the fact that it is Matt Weldon talked about, 193,000 applications in Rhode Island for unemployment benefits. The numbers are just staggering.
Yeah, and it's critical that the people who do get the PPP loans. You go through the process of calling your people back, getting them off unemployment. I have to tell you, Matt Weldon has been a godsend in many instances where he's helping the small business community. Listen, I understand people think that, if they make $600 more, that's important. But the most important thing is to bring people back on the payroll. And there are consequences if you don't come back on the payroll. I mean, you're offered your full-time job back. And I think Matt has done yeoman's work, I really do.
And thank you for repeating that, because that needs to be repeated over and over again. We're, as you are and I am, getting calls and texts from businesses that are struggling with that. And I'm saying, look, you're not the bad guys. You're not the bad girls here. You're the one who's moving forward, participating in a program like this that protects jobs and protects your business so that you're open when this is all over. And so the people who are trying to beat the system, that's where I'm losing a little patience there. So we need to make sure that the program that was set up, which is a payroll protection program, is pretty clear the way that it's structured, Mark, and the way that the name says it all, with protecting payroll. And if the businesses who are out there that think that somehow that they don't have, that they can, that the repayment on this thing is going to get impacted by that. So they're going to be, their only choice there is to make sure that that loan is forgiven. And the only way that that loan can be forgiven is that they satisfy the payroll component of it. Right, Mark?
That is correct. And if people, we've fielded a ton of questions even today on certain things. I know that there are a couple of people who are getting a little excited about the fact that Secretary Mnuchin said any loan over $2 million is going to be audited. You know, should we take the money? Frankly, just keep good records. I mean, there's a legitimate reason for we're not talking about the larger companies that have taken money and now given it back. We're talking about Rhode Island businesses that are trying to save jobs.
Yes. And, Mark, there has been some articles and some thought that the forgiveness of the loans criteria, they're making suggestions that they're going to change about that, but nothing's happened in that area yet. We're still living on the same forgiveness strategies as we were before, right?
No, I mean, and I've told everybody all along, you know, keep good records. I mean, as long as it's 75-25, you've brought your people back on, you started with 15, you ended with 15, you know, that's exactly the way it should be. I don't think that there's any intention of being punitive. I mean, a couple of days ago when question 31 came on to the frequently asked questions that concern larger companies, I had a couple of lenders, Governor, call me and say, you know, well, maybe that liquor store down the street really shouldn't have, because they weren't impacted. And I said, listen, the agency's not going to come after a liquor store who got $35,000 because they probably were impacted. They have to social distance. They can't have as many people in the store. I mean, there are plenty of reasons for that. Now, this is really focused at publicly traded companies that are owned by venture capital firms that have sufficient equity I don't see that in Rhode Island. I really don't. And I've talked to a lot of the people who are publicly owned and who have a legitimate reason for requesting PPP, and they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Well, thanks, Mark. I don't know if you can hang in there.
Is my friend Gary Reese on the call, by the way? I want to know that.
Yes, I'm here.
I told him to behave himself too, so he's gone. yes, thanks, Mark. And if you can hang in there, that'd
right.
be great. I think a couple of questions may come up, and we'll end the time going back.
I'll be here.
Thank you. So, Justin, are you still there? Right? We had a call.
Yeah, I'm still here.
I just wanted to. You had a phone call with a national group talking about reopening strategies. Just give a quick overview on that. It's a good segue into the next section as we get to talk to the business owners that are on the call.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am on a group of different print shops, throughout the country, and we're all coming together, and a lot of us have been working with a lot of social distancing projects for large corporations without the last, couple weeks or so. But everyone was putting in their ideas, and we're putting together a little, PDF strategy to be released to small businesses and different businesses in our communities on how to, safely go about opening our businesses. A lot of the call was developed around, what are the Walmarts and the Targets doing of the world, and, how can we mimic what they're doing, but, keep a local small vibe on it. So it was interesting to see how, different communities, there were some shops on there that they're opening this week, they're going right in. They haven't been, as affected as our community has, but like I said, on the Gift It Forward website, I'm going to share a lot of the resources that are coming from that. If anybody has questions on or, needs some guidance and suggestions on how to, do signage and different things in your place, I can give you my email. It's Justin, J-U-S-T-I-N, at OceansideGraphicsRI.com. If anybody knows of any other print shops that are doing stuff, please let me know. I want to add them to the Gifted Forward site. I'd like to, get them some business and help everybody in the community. So as I develop more programs with them later this afternoon, I have another call, on more of, effectively and safely opening businesses. I'll keep everybody in the loop, but it is interesting to see how, different places are going to start to reopen.
Yeah, and that's what we want to talk about now with the panel that we have of business owners, and I want to introduce them and then have them give a quick overview of their businesses and the impact that this health crisis has had on their business, and then and then also share some of their thoughts about safely reopening, you know, and I emphasize safely because if it's not safe, we can't reopen, so we've got to figure out a way to maximize the opportunity like we helped with the garden shops and the farmers, you know, a week ago. So let's start off with former mayor, Richard Sardella down in Newport. Richard, are you on the line? Hopefully Richard's there. If he's not there, we'll skip Richard at the moment, and then we'll move to Christine Raffer from Raffer Yoga. Christine, are you there? Okay, we know Gary Reese is there, so let's go to Gary.
Gary.
Hi, Gary. Give us a little bit about, I mean, you're in multiple businesses today. You're talking about the country club, but the golf course, but the but you are a multiple business owner. So give us just a quick overview and tell us the impact it has had on your business in general and in particular to the golf course.
Well, thank you for Governor.
By the way, go ahead.
Thank you, Governor, and everyone on the panel. I'm especially excited to speak with Julietta if she's still there. But my name's Gary Reese. I'm partners with David Rampone, and we're the owners of the Pawtucket Country Club. And the club was not healthy 4 years ago. We stepped in. And we don't qualify for a PPP loan because we're a 501c7, which is a nonprofit. And the golf course community, it just needs to reopen. Most of us that don't qualify for PPP loans, our only source of income is golf cart rental, which we could limit to one per person. And we could steam clean them and disinfect them, but we're coming up with our own set of protocols to safely open so that we can make sure that our members are safe. But bordering on the state of Massachusetts has put a big strain on us because more than 50% of our members are Massachusetts residents and they're not allowed to cross state lines. That's been very difficult. Not to mention the loss in wedding revenue. We're not just a golf course. We do a lot of charity functions once a week. The veterans, the wounded warriors, they all play for free at the course. But when a wedding's canceled, we have to return the deposits. And those dates never get rescheduled. The fact that we're not available to get any assistance is really, really putting a strain on us. And, you know, I just want everyone to understand that canceling a wedding affects 30 small businesses in Rhode Island, from florists to photographers and travel agents. And there's a group called the Rhode Island Coalition of Wedding Vendors. They're stating that $70 million a year go into the Rhode Island wedding industry. And we now that's been completely cut off from anything that we receive. So, Gary,
let me just jump in here because I want to give everybody a chance to kind of introduce themselves. But I do want to reinforce, and we work with the Rhode Island Golf Association. We work with a number of the private clubs and the public courses. These are small businesses, and I think that we want to make sure people realize that. As you just explained, there's many components. In terms of like working with turf farms in many cases, and other other vendors, and it extends past me teeing it up on the first tee and go and play, go hit a double bogey on the first hole. And that's what we want to reinforce today. So Gary, we'll get back to you with some of your thoughts about safely opening, but I wanted to go to Mayor Sardella, former Mayor Sardella from Newport. Richard, are you on
Governor, the line? Governor, I'm on the line, Governor.
Thank you very much. I thought I was going to have to carry the whole call by myself.
No. I didn't know you had to hit *6 to unmute.
There you go.
Thank you for all the hard work you and all the other directors are doing during this unbelievable crisis. I've been the proud owner of three restaurants in Newport. Sardella's is... We just celebrated our 40th year. We had a hell of a celebration on April 15th. That's a joke, by the way. And 11 years ago, I opened a seasonal restaurant on Goat Island called the Marina Pub. And a year ago, adjacent to Sardella's, we opened in Briglio's Pizzeria. It goes without saying that restaurants on the whole, as every other small business, has been impacted tremendously by the virus. We opted not to do takeout when it first hit, and we're going to be opening in Briglio's this Friday to do takeout only, and the Marina Pub will be reopening on the 15th of May to do takeout. I'm very proud of the fact, number one, that I was the mayor of Newport. It was a great honor. Number two, that I've been in business for 40 years. I'm the third or fourth longest-running restaurant in Newport owned by the same proprietor. I'm interested in listening to the rest of the panel, and then I'd be give you some thoughts on what we have to do safely
great.
To reopen in the, down the line.
Well, thank you, Mayor. And also, you didn't have your major celebration, but you're definitely doing a jazz night on Wednesday night, so that you told me, right?
We're still continuing. We've been doing live jazz on Wednesdays for the last 20 years, and we're doing a live jazz concert every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on the Sardella's Rhode Island Facebook page. So please
nice.
Join in. We have Mike Renzi, who's a six-time Emmy winner, born and raised in Rhode Island. Nicholas King has been with us the last 2 weeks. He's born and raised in Rhode Island. Hoping to get Billy Gilman on the show soon, born and raised in Rhode Island. And Ida Zecco was a Massachusetts gal, I believe, but she'll be on this Wednesday. So
nice.
It's
well,
a fun time, and people really enjoy it.
Well, we're our small business owners are creative, and then we're very innovative. So, you know, keeping in touch with your customer base and keeping that tradition alive. Let me go to Christine Rapa. Christine, are you on the line now from Rapa?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Just give us a little overview of your business and how it's been impacted by the virus, you know, and then we'll get into, you know, a discussion after we introduce Lena next, and we'll get into a discussion for 10 minutes or so about how we can safely reopen our businesses and from your perspective. But, Christine, give us a little overview of your business, and thank you for being on the call yesterday with a handful of yoga studio owners.
Yes, thank you, Lieutenant Governor. My name is Christine Rapa, and I own Rapa Yoga. I own Urban Sweat Therapeutics, and I also own Rapa Real Food Vegan Cafe. And we, as yoga studios in Rhode Island, there's about 70 of us. We feel very strongly that, you know, being able to open as soon as possible safely within the guidelines put out by the state and federal organizations, we're really concerned not only with our individual businesses, but with the mental health, the health and well-being of the community that we serve. And we do feel as though we can come up with a plan to open safely. And, you know, continue to monitor safety guidelines that will, you know, really benefit us. But for many of us as small businesses, you know, we are concerned about the availability to get reopened in an appropriate time frame that helps us to continue to thrive, you know, in this Rhode Island economy. So we, too, would be very interested in talking with Juliana from the Department of Business Regulation to find out who the lead is in reference to the fitness and the spa industry to see how we might effectively be able to move forward. May 1st will be the 20-year anniversary of Rapa Yoga, and I'm proud to be part of the business community here in Rhode Island. But I am concerned that if this lingers on for many months, you know, how that will have an impact in us successfully reopening.
Well, Christine, thank you for saying that. And I know that everybody represented their business, but I also know that your comments, you know, our insights in terms of what all our businesses are going through. So thank you for sharing that. I want to try a little something here to just kind of give you an overview of how difficult it is, you know, in terms of like I was talking earlier on the call about the impact on the Hispanic community and that the virus is disproportionately shared on a percentage basis in that area. And one of the reasons that I think that it happens is that there's a, you know, there's a language issue and we need to get the information out. So, Rosa, why don't you come on the call here with Lena? Lena, why don't you, if you could introduce yourself, Lena. Rosa, are you there, first of all?
Please.
Rosa? Yes, and is Lena on the call as well? Lena, introduce yourself, your business in Spanish, and Rosa will interpret for it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So introduce yourself, your business, and some of your concerns, but let's go a minute or so Spanish, and then Rosa step in and do the interpretation, and then we'll have Lena speak in English, but I think that we need to share this because this is an important factor, Rosa. And maybe you could just set up the call, Rosa, about what you've been doing, communicating to the Spanish community as well as the Hispanic community, as well as a call on Friday that we're having directly into the Hispanic business community. Give us a little overview of what you've been doing, and then let's have Lena give her description in Spanish. You can translate, and then we'll get back to the English.
Perfect. Bueno, lo que yo he estado haciendo todos los días es traducir las conversaciones de la gobernadora Gina Raimondo. ¿Me están escuchando?
Sí.
Are you listening?
So just tell everybody.
I just did that on purpose, jefe. I did that on purpose.
Yes.
Okay. That introduction was, my name is Rosa. I work with the Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee. I have been translating simultaneously every briefing from day one from the governor on behalf of the Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee in Spanish every single day without missing one day. We did this because we saw how difficult it was for us that spoke English, that the briefing and how dangerous the situation was becoming, and I felt compelled to translate that into Spanish because I know that a lot of people's lives depending on the communication. So the Lieutenant Governor, I spoke with the Lieutenant Governor and asked for permission to do this. And of course, he said, of course, because we're serving all the communities that are within the Rhode Island communities, the 39 cities and towns of Rhode Island. And like the governor said, those communities within those communities are important to us. So following with the philosophy of Dan McKee, so we did that. And we, from day one, every single day for all these almost 8 weeks, we have been translating simultaneously every briefing from the governor, every single one of them. And
not only that, but we also have
once a week at 4 o'clock, the same type of call that we're having now in Spanish too.
So, Rosa, introduce Lena. Let Lena introduce herself in Spanish. You give the translation, and then we'll get back to English in about a minute. But we want to illustrate here that the communication needs to be had into every community in a way that informs them. Otherwise, uninformed people are going to certainly are not going to help solve this health issue. But, yeah, introduce Lena. And then have Lena introduce herself. And then Lena could introduce herself in Spanish, and you can interpret it for her, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Vamos a ver.
Yeah, go ahead.
Lena, por favor.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Lena Paulino. Estoy representando a un salón de belleza llamado De Joselito Beauty and Barber en la ciudad de Providence.
Hello, my name is Lena Paulino, and I'm the owner of a beauty salon, De Joselito, on Broad Street in Providence. Go ahead,
Lena. Give a little bit more explanation of your business, how long you've been in business.
Un poquito de tu negocio y cuánto tiempo tienes en el negocio en español.
El negocio tiene aproximadamente ya casi cumplido 10 años en la ciudad de Providence, y lamentablemente tenemos poca comunicación representándonos ahora mismo. Le doy la gracia al vicegobernador Don Mojí, que le dio la oportunidad a Rosa del Castillo, que nos ayudara. Si no fuera por esas dos personas, ahora mismo la comunidad latina, los pequeños negociantes, estuviéramos desinformados, no tuviéramos ningún tipo de información, estuviéramos en lo que le dice el latino, en el aire, sin ningún tipo de información ahora mismo.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee that allowed Rosa de Castillo to do this job for our community. If it wasn't for this type of translating, we will be in the dark. I have been having this company for over 10 years, in the community. And I know that many other business owners that only speak Spanish or have very limited English will be lost without the help of the Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee.
Hey, Rosa, thank you. And thank you, Valina. We'll get back to English now, but I think if we want to make the point, and we're going to continue to make the point, that for us to penetrate and curb the the infection rates in any community, and in this case the Hispanic community, we need to be a lot more direct and a lot more to inform. So, Lena, thank you and welcome for being here. And what I'd like to do is open up the discussion now amongst the four people for about 5 minutes, and then we'll go back to Mark and to Matt and Julieta for any closing comments that they may have. But let's just open it up in terms of, okay, let's talk about
if I may, Lieutenant.
Go ahead.
If I may, can we allow Lena to express what you were saying in English and the sentiments from the small businesses that are not being, some of their needs are not being needed, not only because of they are so very small, but also because of the language barrier. Can she do that for less than a minute?
Let's do that. We'll start with Lena, and then we'll go to Gary, and then we'll go to Christine, and we'll get, and Richard will have the last comment. You know, we'll spend a minute on each person and lay it out, and then we'll open it up to our directors and to Mark for any closing comments, and then we'll close the call out a little after 1 o'clock. But we got another 10 minutes, so that's good. So Lena, why don't you share some of the things that Rosa just talked about? Do it in English, please, and thank you very much for being here.
Thanks to you for giving me the chance. Well, yesterday I had quite a few issues. I wasn't able to do the loans at all. I called 3 banks, and all 3 banks gave me a little remark saying that they won't be able to. One of them were hacked up because of the loans from the past. They were working on them. The other one said that they couldn't help me because I didn't belong to that bank. And the other one said that they couldn't help me because I did not belong to that bank. So I wasn't able to apply for any other loans at all. And right now, I wasn't able to do any loans. So I just sat down myself saying, what is that I'm going to do to help myself to reopen my business back again with the unemployment money coming into me, knowing that May 9th is the opening date, and knowing that there's a lot of requirements coming back in for the business to open, not knowing actually how are they going to work, what is it that we got information we're going to get. I actually spoke with one person from the community that I actually, Rosa gave me a number to call, that he, the only things that I told him was, there's numbers in all business, in front of the business, that the community could call them and tell them, this is what you do, this is how you work out. And nobody has taken the time to those Latinos community and have sat down with anyone of us and given us those ideas how to work out business, even though they're closed. If at least one person from the community, that I could say a congressman, city, senator, anybody, at least take a phone call and call us and give us an idea how to reopen, I bet you we could actually feel comfort and open our business.
Well, Lena, thank you for sharing that. And I think that people listening, we know that there's many people that are decision makers that are listening on this call. And we've been very fortunate to have many of them participate, including DBR, DLT, and the SBA. So, thank you for sharing, and this is what the intent of this call is, to just put information on the table, so to speak, so that we can follow up. Gary, why don't you step in, because I want to give you a chance, and then Christine, the next, and then the Mayor Sedella, lastly, just to kind of share some of your thoughts over a minute in terms of what you see as a safe type of reopening strategy in the business that you're involved in right now. I think you represent the golf courses right now. Well, you represent Pawtucket Country Club, but and I think you speak a lot on behalf of the same sentiment that other golf courses are having right now. And I want to reiterate this: a golf course or a restaurant or a hairdresser, they all contribute to our economy. We need to make sure that we understand that. Go ahead, Gary.
Absolutely. Thank you, Governor. I just wanted to point out the difference between state parks and beaches, and one individual playing golf using a completely clean golf cart I mean, we need cart revenue to survive. Charging people to walk is just not doing it for us. It's easier to social distance on a golf course than it is on a beach or even a park. And I would like the opportunity to prove that in a safe and responsible way. All of the golf courses that are left, they're dropping like flies. They're just, it's a very unstable business. We all are willing and able to police the 200 to 250 people that actually play the course without guests. We just need the opportunity to prove it. Several other states, from Connecticut to California, Florida, and several others, have opened their courses. People need this. We need this release. We need the exercise. We need to get out of the house. We have protocols that we're developing to put in place to prove to the Department of Business Regulations that we can do this safe, and we just need the opportunity to do that. We're in dire straits right now to realize some revenue.
Yeah. So, Gary, thank you for sharing that. I think that the Foxwoods, because the Indian is open, but I don't think Connecticut Gulf Coast is open. But I think that one of the things that we have done in Rhode Island is provide at least a small opportunity to have our businesses open and fire the golf courses, which is different than Massachusetts. So we got to make sure that we give credit where credit is due, that there is this effort to try to help out. And if we can figure out a way to create more activity, like we did with the garden shops, right? The garden shops were very restricted. They still have a level of restriction, but they're doing better. That's what we're trying to do in these calls. So your ideas, I'm sure that as Julietta said on the DBR, she said, there's a portal now that we can share that information, and we got to make sure we do that. So Gary, thank you for sharing. Christine, you want to just add a minute or so before we get back to some of the people on the panel?
I'd be happy to. Thank you for the opportunity. You know, as the 70 yoga studios in Rhode Island, we try to move forward. We also have to remember that our community needs this mental stability. We also teach principles of mindfulness and, you know, therapeutic movement. And without our, you know, our communities being isolated, we don't even know what the impact on our community is going to be from all the isolation. But we feel as a group that we're going to be able to lay out a plan that's safe and effective, also knowing that we'd be monitoring all the rules already set forth, but that we're also working with primarily a healthy population. These are people that are, you know, moving their bodies, that are in an appropriate age group and aren't in a, you know, high-risk volume group. We just feel like the opportunity to be able to begin slowly and then be able to, you know, open up more availability for our clientele to come back. Many of the yoga studios are receiving zero revenue at this point. And, at some point, we've just got to be able to, have the opportunity to allow the community to have faith and trust to come back, that it is a safe and healthy place to be, and that we can do this in a professional way that also is mindful of public safety. But the health, mental health implications of all this isolation, we really don't know what the fallout from that's going to be. But we are interested in trying to open potentially in phase two and to be able to put our program forward in a safe fashion that we'd love, the opportunity for consideration on.
Christine, thank you. Yeah, go ahead, Christine.
Governor,
yeah.
I was just going to say, this is Julietta. Gary,
Julietta,
and Christine,
okay.
All points well taken. I've been listening. I've been on this call. If Shay could please just communicate my email address to you and to anyone else who wants, I would love to get your plans and thoughts in writing and use those as we move forward.
Thank you.
I appreciate that, Juliana. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And then Mark, I'll get to Richard in a second, but Mark may be pressed with a time limit here. Mark, do you want to weigh in on anything that's been said at this point?
Oh, I'd like to weigh in on a lot of stuff. First and foremost, I think Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx have said being outside probably is the safest place. And I associate with what Mr. Reese has to say. I think it's we need some normalcy, and I think being able to go out and what the beautiful landscape of which God has created is certainly important for everybody right about now. We're hearing that from all of the business people that we're talking to. So I did want to give one update. I did go into the system, Governor, and took a look at, we have approved, this is now not PPP, this is EIDL loans, which is a little bit different. These are the economic injury disaster loans, the long-term loans. 215 have been approved for $17,950,712. So
great.
That's FYI. I can't figure out whether
on the EIDL, while you brought the EIDL up, if they were in the mix and they, you know, you know, the other round before, are they qualifiable if they were in the mix until the money runs out, or is that
So the agency got $50 billion for EIDL loans. There is a significant ask right now. That portal is not open. So if you have submitted an application, you're in the mix. If you have not, you cannot submit at this point in time.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mark. And Richard, I didn't want to ignore you, but I know Mark has sometimes he gets on a call at noon. He's got to be on a call at 1 and 2 and the rest of the day. So, Richard, just, you know, give your final summation, and then I'll close it out, and I'll check with Matt if he's still there, if he has anything he wants to weigh in on.
All right. Thank you, Governor. I'll be very brief. Excuse me. I don't foresee restaurants opening up and people flocking to restaurants right away. But what we do have now is the ability to sell to go. And many of the restaurants in Rhode Island, Newport, South County, Providence, Thayer Street in Providence, downtown Providence, have outdoor seat capacity. I would like to see the governor, Raimondo, and the state say, okay, you could get a to-go order, go to an outdoor seating area, as long as tables are 6 feet apart and no more than 5 people at a table, sit in the sunshine, by the water, by you know, whatever you're looking at, and enjoy your meal. No table service, it's all to go, and you could buy a bottle of wine, you could buy a can of beer. I'd like to extend that also to buying a cocktail with a lid on it that's not to be taken off the premises and consumed in public. I think that adds a little normalcy to our lives and would go a long way in helping some of the restaurants recoup some of their lost revenue.
Thank you, Mayor, for sharing that. And as a former mayor myself, we've walked in the same shoes. And that's a kind of a shout-out to the local communities as well to weigh in on whatever flexibility they have to provide as well, right? Right,
well, definitely. It really is up to the local community to let restaurants that have outdoor areas that are not right now covered by the consumption of alcohol or the service of food to utilize those areas, whether it be a small portion of an existing parking lot that is nicely landscaped by the restaurant owner, just to get people outside, put some normalcy into their lives, and let the restaurants recoup a little bit of the losses, millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in losses.
Richard, thank you, and thank you for all the people that were on the call. I just want to respect the kind of the timelines that we've tried to set up here, which is an hour call. Matt Weldon, I don't know if you're still on the line or not, but if you are, maybe any closing comments you have is would be welcome.
No, thank you, Governor. This has been informative. I appreciate the opportunity to hear from everyone. If anybody needs any help, please email me or go through the Lieutenant Governor's email address that he gave, and I'll do my best to get back to you within 48 hours.
Thanks, Matt. And Julietta, I think you might have signed off, but thank you for
being
on. I
did. Just same as Matt said. Basically,
okay.
Reach out to me. Shay has my email. The Governor has my email. I'm happy, and I always get back to people as soon as I possibly can.
Thank you very much. So my closing comments, as they've always been, and by the way, we're going to do a simultaneous call with the telephone on Friday, and we're also going to be opening up to a broadcast strategy into social media so that we can start delivering a small business message to a larger audience of business people, but also people who live in our communities that have a lot of goodwill towards our small businesses. We want to start engaging them in the conversation. So we'll be announcing that in the Friday's call, and where we have several hundred people on the call today, we expect several thousand people to start listening to this message. I appreciate everybody that was on the call. I do want to, you know, one of our focuses was today to kind of deliver the message that the Hispanic community is important, but we got to speak to them in a way that they can understand in order to curb that infection rate in a way that can open up our economy. My help, your help, impact each one of us. And as long as anyone's infected in a higher level, it is going to impact our ability to open up our economy. It's in all our best interest to try to figure this out. The other piece that I'll say before I close out with the Health First message is that we know that the demand for help, financial help, whether it's in loans or grants or rent relief or mortgage relief, the demand far distances the supply. And it's, you know, I think it is time for us to get into a serious conversation on the state level, as other states have, about a sustainable strategy to help our small businesses, in particular those who are not able to take, advantage of any of the federal programs with the small business programs. So I'll end that with that note, and we're going to continue to work on behalf of the small businesses. But I would say that our number one priority is not to be infected, not to catch this virus. And we need to listen to Dr. Scott and the health department, along with the governor and the governor's office, as well as our emergency management and National Guard and everybody that is participating in trying to keep us healthy. So stay healthy, stay safe. And my phone number is 401-465-6204. If you need to talk to me about anything in particular, or you'd like to volunteer into this effort to help our small business community. Thank you so much for participating today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Yep.